श्रीला गुरुदेव की जय, श्रीमन महाप्रभु की जय, श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय, श्री श्री गौर नित्यानंद की जय, श्री श्री गौर गदाधर जी की जय, श्री श्री दवजी गोपाल की जय, श्री श्री राधा माधव की जय, श्री बलदेव पूर्णिम की जय, श्री रक्षाबंधन की जय, गौर भक्त वृंद की जय, गौर गौर प्रमानंद हरि हो। सो गुड इवनिंग, प्रणाम टू ऑल ऑफ यू, वेलकम टू दोस कनेक्टेड एज वेल इन लाइन। सो वेरी मे यू बी हैविंग अ वेरी ब्लेस्ड सेलिब्रेशन ऑफ श्री बलदेव पुण्यम, Balaram Jayanti, sometimes called as well, which basically is the appearance day, as quote unquote, sometimes as we celebrate also the appearance day of Krishna, we call it the birth of the unborn or something like this. So as we have the sun being born every day, but never being born at the same time, the same way, for the sake of Leela, for the sake of different accomplishments and fulfillments in the ongoing nature of loving life, Bhagavan the Absolute takes different forms, and in those different forms he even appears on earth. It is a very unique notion that especially Indian Eastern traditions, Gaudiya Vaishnavism in particular, also deal with this notion of avatar or of the divine appearing here in the apparently non-divine land, if you will, with some specific purpose in mind, which somehow can only be fulfilled in one way by appearing here. Interesting. All of which, of course, tells a lot about our being here, and how we can really take best advantage and get the bigger picture of all that it means to be born as a human. Today I was correcting some translation that has been done, my Guru Maharaj's Aesthetic Vedanta, one book he speaks, and in the introduction he emphasizes this idea of divine humanism and how the Absolute comes onto earth to basically celebrate his own fullness in the context of a human-like setting. So that's worthy of celebration, but on every single day of our lives, but at the same time we have some specific yearly human-like celebrations, if you will. Celebration of these moments that the Absolute decides to manifest in one form or another in human-like terms, and in this way becoming especially accessible, if you will, to us humans, so we can divinize our humanity. And a good part of divinizing our humanity is humanizing divinity. Not to the point of depriving divinity of its his her divinity, but humanizing divinity as much as it helps to create this unique bond in which all this gamut of emotions can play out in the context of what we call Leela or divine play. So today we are celebrating one of those great moments, Mahotsavs, great occasions for celebrating the very existence, in this case, of Sri Dauji Balaram Tattva. And today in the morning, our Guru Maharaj shared some very charming notions about Baladev, focusing on some specific features of a few of the unlimited features of the Absolute. And today I'd like to hopefully serve whatever he mentioned and in some minimum way complement some of his presentation with further input or insights in connection to the life of Sri Balaram. But well, Balaram is, as we know, a crucial figure in the Braja Leela, and as usual in our Gaudiya tradition, before accessing or trying to access the Braj, we beg permission on the door of Gaur Leela and his Dham, if you will, and his associates, or we first pay our obeisances to those figures in Braja Leela in their particular expression in Nadia. So today, of course, the term for that corresponds to Sri Nityananda Prabhu, who is none other than Baladev, appearing in this unique extension, generous Udar extension called Audarya Lila as well. And by whose grace we can say something today. And by the grace of someone like Nitai Chan, we can be in a place like this, sitting here, opening our mouths, ears, hearts, and having the opportunity to glimpse about this unique transcendental reality. So by the grace of Baladev Prabhu, in his Nadia feature, if you will, Nitai Chant, by the grace of Nityananda Prabhu, we can enter basically Braj, as Narottam Das Thakur sings over and over again. Only by Nitai Chant, Nitai Karuna Hare Braj Radha Krishna Pave, and so on. By the grace of Nitai, you can attain service of Sri Radha and Krishna. By the grace of Nitai, you can enter into the Braj. So, by the grace of Nitai Chan, by the grace of Baladev, in this particular form, we can say something about Balaram in Braj, who is none different. Brajendra Nandan say, Sachi Sutta Hailahi, Balaram Hailani Itai, sings Thakur Narottam. As Brajendra Nandan Krishna is none different from Sachi Sutta, the son of Nanda Maharaj, none different from the son of Sachi, Balaram Hailani Itai. The same applies to Balaram in relation to Sri Nityananda Prabhu. So, Sri Nityananda Prabhu ki jaya. We won't extend into the details of Nityananda Tattu because that's another portal altogether, worthy of exploring and being tempted by. But I just wanted to make this point on importance of, for at least for some minutes, begging for the grace of Nityananda Prabhu and, how to say, not underestimating the significance of that 1-2 minute begging, if you will. And that may be enough to change the whole course and trajectory of our existence. So, after doing so, and before turning to Sri Balaram, also, as you may know, there is a second celebration today, being interestingly connected to Baladev Purnima, and that's called Raksha Bandhan. I don't know if you have heard about that, and if not, well, you will a little bit do now. So Raksha Bandhan is a very interesting, if you will, Indian culture celebration, but somehow overflows into the realm of our tradition as well. It's not an exclusive festivity of our sampradaya, but it takes place all over India, which basically, which is connected with Balaram's appearance, as we'll see. So Raksha Bandhan, Raksha has to do with protection, Bandhana means like bondage. That's quite common, similar to the English word bandhana, bondage. So Raksha Bandhana has, if you translate it literally, means something like bondage of protection or bondage through protection. And basically the form that it takes in India in general is that the sisters, they will go to their journey elder brothers, and every year this particular day they will kind of update the contract, if you will, and request their brothers to protect them. And like a symbol of that, they will tie on the, how to say, wrist of the brother one, like, they call Rakhi, which is like a little thread, sometimes red, sometimes multicolored, depending on the flavor of the protection, such as requested. So they will bond their brothers. It's like, this idea is bonding through affection. No? There is some commitment on the two sides of the relationship. And naturally, that's symbolized with this bonding, which is, of course, very usual in Braj, bonding everywhere. Damodar Leelas everywhere, as we were seeing. Krishna is tied by Yashoda. There is a Damodar Leela when Radha is tied to Krishna. There is a Damodar Leela, as Guru Maharaj was describing in his forthcoming book, that the gopas will tie Krishna because he was not playing according to the rules in the game. So you have Damodar Leela in every single direction. So tying, because the affection there is overflowing. So Krishna loves to be tied, basically. That's his favorite quality in himself, basically. If you are about to do an interview with Krishna, you ask him, what's your favorite thing about you? Sorry to present that in such terms, but just to... And he has many qualities to tell. I mean, he's an ocean of qualities. He's Kalanidhi. He could, like, interview will never end, if, basically, no? You have enough battery for eternity because my qualities are eternal. So that here I begin. But in his humility, he will say, yeah, my favorite quality is that I become tied by the love of my devotees, which actually speaks about the love of his devotees, no? and how that impacts on him. So basically, this is the idea, this type of tying through affection, through confidence, through protection, Rakshishati Vishva. So that's one of the main limbs of Sharanagati, to trust that Krishna will protect us. So that's a type of Rakshabandhan, if you will. Sometimes also this celebration is connected with Bali Maharaj, Bhaman Dev, interestingly. I won't retell the whole story, but as you know, Bali Maharaj was quote-unquote cheated by Bhaman Dev. He offered himself with these three steps that he requested, Bhaman Dev requested, and as we know, this small dwarf, Bhaman means dwarf, but eventually became another name for Bhaman Dev is Urukram or Tribhrikram, who made three wondrous steps. So from dwarf to giant, basically. So Bhaman Dev, Bali Maharaj in between was like, okay, what to do now? God is cheating you, what to do now? Atmani Vedana. He put his head on the ground and said, if God is cheating me, okay, that's part of his blessing. That deserves my head to be put there. So eventually, it is said that Bhaman Dev was so pleased with Bali Maharaj that he asked Bali, what do you want from me? And Bali Maharaj said, I want you to be my gatekeeper in Sutala Loka. So it seems that Bhaman Dev cheated Bali Maharaj, but actually Bali Maharaj cheated Bhaman Dev at the end. I want you to be there forever, eternally gatekeeper. Yeah, okay. And he put a Rakhi on Bhaman Dev, again, like requesting, you protect my door. No? You are my protector. So he put this little thread on him. So in one way, Bali Maharaj expressed Atmani Vedanam. He surrendered his own sense of self to Bhaman Dev, and Bhaman Dev reciprocated through Rakshishati Vishwa, so giving protection to those who trust in him, basically. So again, very, very interesting dynamics there. Again, generally, Bali is the one known as the cheated one, but if you observe in detail, it was actually the opposite. By the force, the strength of his bhakti, Bali Maharaj made Bhagavan to take the vow of remaining as his eternal doorkeeper in Sutala Loka, not in Vaikuntha. But I mean, if someone like Bali Maharaj and someone like Bhaman Dev are there permanently, how much of a Sutala you have there, basically, no? So, one more Vrindavan. Vrindavan is a state of consciousness, and so is Sutala as well, or anywhere else. So in this way, we Gaudiyas, again, this is something very typical found out throughout India, but also in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, this takes a particular shape. A day like today, and generally a day like today, a Gaudiya Vaishnava may approach one's guru or one's senior, some Vaishnavi from whom one will like to receive shelter and protection in the form of guidance and affection, and they will go with this thread in hand and please put your, symbolizing, of course, the commitment. No, it's not just a mere formality. It's not about we have a party today, let's get some colorful thread and everyone will be decorated today. No, but this external color speaks about some internal coloring, in the heart, in the form of commitment, in the form of responsibility, in relationships, checks and balances in the context of sadhu sangha. So that's a very nice, sweet part of loving, like dadati prati grinati, as Rupa Goswami will say, forms of priti lakshana, forms of interaction of affection between devotees, expressing shelter, giving shelter, receiving shelter, whether if both sides are in the proper place, both sides are charming. It's not that the only glorious one is the one receiving all the threats or something like that. It's from both sides, and the charm, the glory is there. And also, interestingly, this Rakhi, or this, like, how do you call it? Wrist,
Bracelet,
okay. It's also sometimes called Ananta. And this is in connection to Baladev, his feature as Ananta Shesh, who is like a serpent. Sometimes some people wear these bracelets like serpent likes. So somehow all these things are connected. And in this way we start to tie these two, no? Like Raksha Bandhan and Baladev Purnima, Balaram. No? So in which way, again, Sri Balaram of course represents the principle of protection in many ways, not only for us, but even for Krishna himself. So he represents that principle so much that even God himself is under his protection. Although he's God himself as well. As we know, we will start to make the things more and more complicated as the class unfolds. But one of the names of Krishna is Rama Anuja. So Rama Anuja means he whose birth follows that of Rama. Rama Anu Ja. So Ja has to do with Janma, birth. Anu means who follows, and Ram means, as Guru Maharaj said today, Ram. Not Parasu Ram, Dasarati Ram, Radha Raman, but Ram. So Ramanuja is the name of Krishna, which interestingly indicates that he has an elder brother, which of course is a very unique Gaudiya contribution. God has a brother, with all that it implies, and not only a brother, but all of the possible relationships we can imagine. Because as we sometimes think, one may say, how can God have a brother, has a brother? That sounds like you are limiting him and making him something similar to what I can have here. But the Gaudiya logic will be, how can God not have a brother? By not allowing him to experience that relationship, you are limiting him. So he must have those types of relationships, but in such a way that they are not limiting, as we may know them here. So that's the Gaudiya input to all of these questions, like, why God has a form, you are limiting him to a form. Why God has a name, you are limiting him to a name. But actually, in the name of protecting the unlimitedness of God and saying he cannot have a form, he cannot have a name because you are limiting him, actually you are projecting one limit after another. Because you're saying he cannot have a form, he cannot have a name, he cannot have this. Because he's unlimited, he cannot do all the things. For us the logic is because he's unlimited, he can do whatever he likes and remain as unlimited. He can do what he likes, whenever he likes, however he likes, and everyone likes him. Don't try the same your house. Do whatever I like, whenever I like, and expect my wife to still like me. Divorce papers are already in progress. But Krishna is not undergoing divorce or things like that. No? Everyone is charming. So anyhow, he's Ramanuja, which indicates he has Ram as his elder brother. Other name for elder brother is Dauji, actually. Here Balaram is specifically addresses Dauji. No? So Dao means like brother, and Ji generally in India is like a way of referring to someone elder. No? Guruji, Swamiji, Prabhuji. No, it's not just like two extra syllables to fill in the meter, or the verse or something. No? It represents something. No? Sometimes Balaram is called the Mariad Purusha of Krishna's life, which means the person that has been assigned with making sure that Krishna is behaving properly. And he's acting according to Dharma, and so on. Although, as our Guru Maharaj always points, Balaram is only 8 days elder than Krishna. So how much an older brother you can be by being born of almost 1 week before? It's like, okay, but somehow the abhiman, the sense of identity, has been put there. No? So, these two celebrations, Baladev Purnima and Raksha Bandhan, also are connected to the figure of Baladev, since Baladev represents Akanda Guru Tattva, which means the uncontainable principle of Sri Guru. Balaram is like the personification of that, sometimes called Samashti Guru Tattva. No, the conglomerate of all that Guru Tattva represents is Balaram. And that then expresses in individual figures, like one guru, another guru, another guru. But the original guru, if you want to put it like that, Baladev represents this. And of course, guru has to do with also the notion of protection through knowledge, through example, through mercy, through different forms of shelter. And this has to do with the bond of affection, again, going back to Rakshabandhan. A disciple with Sri Guru may not sometimes always have the chance of tying the bracelet, but the contract between the two is in those terms. A bond of affection, confidence, trust between Guru and disciple. And Rupa Goswami says, Bishram Bena Guru Seva. So the connect, the relationship with Guru is to evolve into something akin to confidence, trust, a form of friendship, mature, respectful, deep friendship. So somehow we see how Rakshabandhan and Baladeva are connected and the principle of protection, Guru Tattva, and so on. But that was some introduction connection to Rakshabandhan. Today I wanted mostly to concentrate on one verse about Sri Balaram, if you allow me to share with you, or if you don't, no problem. Some boldness may be required. So this is a verse from that is a pranam mantra to Balaram, presented, offered by Sri Raghunath Das Goswami in his Brajavilas Stava. So Brajavilas Stava is verse number 12. It's a very nice work. My Guru Maharaj likes it a lot. It's a very nice work, also recommended if one is going to Parikram on Vrindavan or anywhere. But it's a verse in a book in which Das Goswami is offering pranam to every single, basically, member of the Leela and inhabitant of the Dham, one by one. One verse for Purnamasi, one verse for Sridham, one verse for Shirada, of course, Krishna, Balaram, the trees, the cows, the river, the clouds, like not missing any single species in the Dham. No? So it's a long list of more than 100 verses in which he's offering himself unto the feet of these different entities. So today we'll share the corresponding verse that he composes, our Prayojan Tattvacharya, in homage to Sri Baladev. And then try to unpack some of the implications following the way of our Guru Maharaj's morning katha. So the verse says, Udyakshu Brahmsu Koti Dyuti Nikara Tiraskara Kari Uchbala Sri Durbaru Dhamma Dhamma Prakara Ripugatam Mada Vidham Sidagdha Sneha Dapyan Ninesham Nijam Anujami Turanya Bhumo Shravitam Tat Biryaknyo Piyonakshanam Upanayatistumi Tat Dinukari. Can we repeat? not yet? Okay. Jai Balaji. So translation of the verse is like this. I praise Sri Baladev, the enemy of Dhenukasur, whose body shines brightly white like millions of rising moons, who easily destroys even a whiff of the false ego of his invincible turbulent enemies, who out of great affection does not leave his naughty little brother Krishna out of his sight for even a moment when they go out into the woods, and who treats Krishna with his affection, despite of knowing about his divine prowess. And that's the verse offered by Sri Das Goswami to Sri Balaram, and making, of course, different important points that we will try to unpack here, that help us to further glimpse at his ontology, and his position, disposition, and so on. So let's go a little bit by order regarding what this verse is saying. First of all, Raghunath Das Goswami is addressing Sri Baladevas as having a white bodily luster which defeats the shining of millions of rising moons. And sometimes this type of, it may sound like extremely exaggerated, forced analogy, no? Because his face is not like a moon, his face is not like millions of moons, his face is not like millions of rising, but has to defeat the rising of millions of moons, and still it's not enough. No? But we have to say something about it. Ikshati Nash of that. Generally, many times the poets in divine frustration after so many attempts will say, he can be compared only to himself. No? I found the proper analogy. Balaram can be compared with Balaram. And they will experience like, I did it. After writing like volumes of different possibilities of poetic analogies and finding greater frustration than that of Vyasadeva when compiling the Bhagavata, finally I got it. Krishna can only be compared with Krishna, Radha can only be compared with Radha, and so on. They have these different names that they can only be compared with themselves. They are unparalleled. Asamordham in Sanskrit. Asamordham means without, higher nor equal. But somehow we use these planets, if you will, symbols to try to say something about. Because again, it's an experience we never saw two moons at the same time. We speak of millions of them rising, shining, I mean defeated in relation to something else. So what must be that something else? It's a way of, again, as we say yesterday, trying to use our even imagination. And when we are conceiving, okay, millions of moons and rising, but something else is defeating that, my imagination collapses. Like, okay, so I have to surrender and pray to Balaram to reveal himself. So here, his bodily luster is described as whitish, but more specifically, that whitish color Rupa Goswami mentions in his Radha Krishna Ganadesh Tipika. He says, Subhra Spatika Varna Dhyo. Surva Spatika Varna Dhyo, which means the bodily luster of Balaram is whitish like a crystal. So that's an interesting point, because in one sense the crystal is, we could say it's whitish, but it's basically crystal. Crystal implies transparency and reflection of whatever is closer to that, if you will. And as we know, again, as our Guru spoke today, in many ways Balaram acts in a reflective way upon Krishna. Even the light of the moon can be compared as a reflective expression of that of the sun. Many ways we can do that in a representative way. Because remember, in the aesthetic consideration of India in general, every color indicates an emotional disposition. So if someone is a certain color, that speaks about his mood. For example, Krishna is Shyam, Shyam Sundar. His complexion is dark bluish, like a dark bluish sapphire, something like Ujjwal Nilamani or something like this. And that color corresponds with Sringarasa. Sometimes Sringarasa, Madhurya Rasa is called Shyam Rasa, like implying color, mood, one and the same. And when we have Mahaprabhu or Shirada, she's Mahabhab Swarupini, she's the personification of divine love. Mahabhab has a molten gold color. That's the color. So for example, when Krishna appears with the mood of Radha, he appears in molten gold. So that in itself defeats the argument of Gornagar Bhav, for example. Because some of the followers of Gornagar Bhav will say Mahaprabhu is enjoying with some ladies in the Nadia village. But if he will be in that mood, he should have a corresponding color, complexion to that enjoying mood, which will be Shyam. But Mahaprabhu is not appearing in Shyam. He appears in the color of Mahabhav, in Radhabhav, molten gold. So that speaks, he's not entering in that mood. Just by doing that color mood analysis, you can easily counteract this idea. So, but my point here is Balaram is crystal-like. So that's not only his color, but that speaks about his internal emotional disposition. So regarding his crystal-like complexion, we could establish, of course, many points, but two come to mind. One in consideration to Balaram's role in the Leela, as Balaram, as Krishna's elder brother, and one in consideration to his role more as a Guru Tattva emblem, you say? Emblem? Mm-hmm. Emblema? Yeah, emblem? Okay. So Leela Vichar and Tattva Vichar, if you will, from these two considerations of perspective. So in connection, for example, to Balaram being transparent, crystal-like, in the Leela, as our Guru Maharaj mentioned today in the morning, when he mentioned how Balaram, when going to Vrindavan, he was representing Krishna so well and so much, so crystal clear-like, he was so crystal clear that he became black. He was so whitish, so transparent in his representation, that he assumed the hue, bodily hue of Krishna, as some deities in Vrindavan will show that. So, like if you put a crystal near a Shyam-like object, the crystal will show itself dark. So that's Baladev, not reflecting, in this case representing in Lila the object of his love and worship, Sri Krishna. And from the tattva bichar, or the tattva, the consideration in terms of metaphysical truth of Balaram as guru, as the principle of guru, Baladev is transparent like crystal. And again, this indicates that he's presiding over the guru tattva department, because the guru is basically that. Prabhupada will describe the guru like the transparent be a medium. Like guru is Krishna in a representational sense, like we sang in the morning, sakshat hari dvina samastra shasya kastadavadyateva shakti. So the guru is one and different with Krishna. It's Krishna in the sense that it's representing Krishna, but there's something else going on there. And Baladeva, as we will see, is Krishna in one sense, but at the same time, he's representing him. And he represents him pretty well, as we were saying. He's crystal-like. So there is some form of Beda-Bed. They are one and different. Balaram is Krishna, but we see it's different from Krishna. Guru is, in another sense, Krishna, but it's different from Krishna. But in both, we find this principle of representation of God. Transparent. I mean, in order to represent the absolute truth, you have to be a totally transparent medium, that you are not just like filtering the divine descent through your own preconceptions, prejudice, or something like that. So from both of these perspectives, from how Balaram represents in a crystal clear like way in Lila Krishna, and as a guru being totally transparent figure, Raghunath Das Goswami said, he defeats millions of monks with his luster and transparency. Again, Baladev is giving relief. The moon gives relief. In night, the shady, the hotel, the moonshine, the moon rays are giving like relief and nourishing, givers of nectar. So as the moon rays are, moon beings are givers of nectar and relief, similarly, Balaram is given relief, for example, when he went to console, pacify the Vrajavasis. And as the moon is given light in darkness, Balaram, in the form of the guru, is given jnana anjana, given the unguent, ointment of knowledge, educating, enlightening through achar, prachar, to the sincere student. So eventually one can be upgraded to the Premanjana. First Gyananjana, and then Premanjana. Then the eye of divine law. First the eye of scriptural knowledge, and then something else. So again, here Balaram is compared to that. His luster defeats millions of moons, and the moons give relief. The moon gives light in the darkness. Balaram is doing those same things, both in the Lila, as Guru Tattva, but in a unlimited way, basically. So regarding this, if we want to put it Beda-Ved, or difference and simultaneous unity with Krishna, this is a very characteristic feature of our tradition, not only ours, but our also. And the idea is, of course, to begin with, the absolute is not dual, it's non-dual consciousness. Advaita Gyan Tattva, says Srimad Bhagavatam. Advaita Gyan Tattva means the absolute is non-dual consciousness. But despite that, in his non-duality, in his oneness, the absolute takes different forms, retaining his non-duality, which again, this is immediately something that takes us beyond the mathematics of the brain, and expands in different forms for the sake of Lila. For example, we hear about Radha and Krishna, but generally we hear Radha and Krishna are one, in one sense. They're one soul in two bodies. sometimes it's depicted as such. Radha Krishna pranaya bikritilla dini shakti rasma ikatmano api bubi pura deha vidangato to Chaitanya Charitamrita says. The original one became two in eternal time for the purpose of loving interaction. So the one became two. Guru Maharaj likes to quote the Shruti in this connection, which says, in being one, there is no enjoyment. So the absolute thought, let me become many. And he pluralized himself, retaining his absolute unity. He can do that. So as the one, eternal one, becomes two in the form of Radha and Krishna, who are sometimes known as Yugal Kishore, the youthful pair, in another sense, not exactly the same, but in a similar way, we can speak about the second Yugal Kishore in the form of Krishna Balaram, youthful pair in another sense. In this sense, Krishna becoming two, not as Shakti and Shaktimam, as Radha and Krishna, Radha is Shakti, Bhagavan is Shaktimam, but here Krishna is Shaktimam, the source of all Shakti or energy, and Bhagavan will, Balaram will be considered as Prakash. Prakash means like an expansion of the original energetic source. So sorry for torturing you with many Sanskrit terms. This is only the beginning. So fasten your seatbelt. And I'm not using here any whiteboard, so that's even more torturing. You're not seeing anything. So bear with me. Be merciful to me. So, more technically speaking, let me become technical for a few minutes. Balaram, specifically speaking, is considered Vaibhav Prakash. That's the specific term assigned to him in connection to who he is in relation to Krishna. And sometimes Krishna is described, not sometimes, but as, of course, the full face of the Absolute. And sometimes Krishna, following the analogy of the moon, since we are speaking in moon-like terms, he's compared like the full moon. Some name of Krishna is Purna Chandra. In the song you have the word Purna Chandra. Full moon, complete moon, or Krishna Chandra. So sometimes the moon is said to have 16 faces, they say. So Krishna is considered that full moon with the 16 faces there. In the words of Srila Rupa Goswami, in his Lagu Bhagavatamrita, that means Swayam Narupa, which means the Absolute in his most fullest and original form. Krishna, another way of saying Krishna is two Bhagavan Swayam. Swayam, Swayam Rupa. So that's Krishna. In other forms, he will show a little less of those 16 faces of the moon, if you will. Still, the moon is there, and it's full still, although we don't see some of the faces, but anyhow. So, we have Swayam Rupa, the original form of the Absolute, and then Rupa Goswami speaks about Swayam Prakash. So, Prakash means an expansion of Swayam Rupa, of that original form. And this Swayam Prakash is subdivided in two. Welcome to the Gaudiya world. They love categories and subcategories and sub-subcategories and so on. So one is called Prabhav Prakash and the other is called Vaibhav Prakash. These two subdivisions of Swayam Prakash. No? Prabhav Prakash means expansions of Krishna, for example, which are identical to Krishna in form and in mood. Remember, form, color, mood are together. So can you think of an example of that? No, but we are speaking about exact same mood and complexion, Rasa Lila. That's the most famous example. But Krishna is dancing with the gopis, and he multiplies in a limited form, which are exactly like the original, same mood. But Swayam Rupa, the original Krishna, is dancing with Sri Radha in the center of the Rasa Mandal, and the Swayam Prakash, in this case Prabhav Prakash, expands to dance with all the other gopis in a form that is exactly the same in form and mood. So that's that case. And then we have Vaibhav Prakash, the other second division of this Swayam Prakash. And this Vaibhav Prakash means a form of Krishna which is slightly different in complexion and therefore mood. And Balaram is the one who, the first one in appearing in that category, the first immediate expansion by Bhavaprakash of Krishna, and the only one in Vrindavan. Because there are all other by Bhavaprakash of Krishna, like you mentioned in Dwarka. That's a by Bhavaprakash. That's not exactly the same Krishna. Different form, different emotional disposition in order to deal with other devotees in outside of Braj. So it's not exactly the same. But in Braj, the only by Bhavaprakash is Balaram, which is again, one says non-different from Krishna, another says slightly different. Bhart Manavida Prakash. The only difference is in terms of color. And color again means mood. Try to always keep that in mind. And of course, then we have this mention of how from this Balardev, this Vaibhavaprakash, who is an expansion of Krishna, then come so many expansions from that expansion. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami describes this in detail when he explains about Nityananda Prabhu in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, so much Aishwarya, just to make the point that this apparently avadhut, eccentric, crazy fellow who is naked and saying that, he's the source of all these unlimited forms of that. So don't misread him and think he's just an ordinary guy. Because again, from Baladev it is said that comes first expansion is Mahasankarshan, Mula Sankarshan, which has to do with Baladev's expanding outside of Raj, in Dwarka, in Mathura. That has to do with his expansion called Mula Sankarshan. Sankarshan, the name Sankarshan is one name for Baladev. And then there is another expansion from that Mula Sankarshan in Vaikuntha called Mahasankarshan. And from Mahasankarshan comes Mahavishnu. And from Mahavishnu comes Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and then Shirdakshaya Vishnu, and so on. From Mahavishnu, somehow we come, although it's not in a point of time, but we are coming from Mahavishnu as our source, if you will. So interestingly, we are ultimately we are emanating from a portion of Baladev. And as we know, as we will see, Balaram is totally fanatical about Krishna's service. He's a fanatic in the good sense of the term. He cannot think of apart from serving Krishna in every single possible way. So he's the source of our source for our source for us. So somehow that connection is there with such a person. And if Balaram is seeing everything to offer for Krishna, we are part of that paraphernalia. We are paraphernalia for serving Bhagavan. By being coming from Mahavishnu, who comes from Balaram. Remember, Balaram, as Guru Mahārāja mentioned today, is Sevaka Bhagavan. He's the absolute in the disposition of a servitor. And he's the source of our source, power source. And so it's important to keep that tie in mind. And if this is not enough, all these expansions that come from Balaram, Krishna Das Kaviraj also mentions finally Ananta Shesh. As we mentioned today, Ananta, which the word Shesh, Ananta means unlimited, but Shesh means like the reminder. That which reminds, if you speak like in, I don't know how to say that in mathematical terms. So the idea is that if there is some reminding service,
Reminder.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Reminder is like remembering something, right? He's reminding us a lot of things, but it's remainder. So Shesh means remainder. So the idea is, if there is any service, remaining service there, 0.01%, Balaram will do that in the form of Shesh. Whatever he was not able to do in his all these other forms, as Balaram himself was basically addressing all the possible fields, as we will see, Santa Dasi, Sakyabhat Salima, as Shesh he will take whatever remains there and remain eternally engaged. So that's a really... That's his mode, no? That's pretty much committed as in service. So we have to somehow again try to identify with him as the source of our source of our source and try to develop that mode of identification with the need of service and not the opposite of that. Sometimes in a joking way some Vaishnavas have depicted the opposite of the spirit of Balaram as the arrow bhakta. That sometimes someone gives it service to Bhakta and say, please can you, you know, Four Sundar will come and ask, can you please pick some mango leaves for the... Bhakti Rasa did her job, but someone may say, like an arrow, like, can you do that? Yes, Guru Sundar, I'm doing that. And he will run like an arrow, but like an arrow, it won't return. Say like, yes. Gone. Gone forever. It's not the boomerang Bhakta will return. So... There are different descriptions of different types of bhaktas in that way. Like, all of them are pathetic, one more than other. But in this case, we see how Balaram is exact opposite to that. Instead of, yes, I do it and disappear, he's basically trying to catch every possible little remaining service there. So, before going to the next part of the verse, going back for a minute to this crystal, whitish, crystal, clear-like complexion of Balaram, and in connection to the... to his extreme service disposition, again, Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find this quote, Bhakta Abhiman Mula Balaram. So, the Abhiman, or the self-consideration of the self-awareness of oneself as a Bhakta, as a devotee, the root of that, the root of seeing ourselves as Bhaktas comes from Balaram. That's the idea. Mula, the root of Abhiman, of how I see myself, in this case, as a Bhakta, has Balaram as its root. Like implying, he really sees himself as such. He cannot conceive any other possible. There's no place for anything else apart from serving Krishna in all possible ways, as we will see. Totally surrender for the pleasure of Krishna. We hear many times, Sarva Dharma Parityaja, 3 years and decades, surrender everything for the pleasure. But sometimes we need a practical example of how to do that. So, Baladev is one of those, or Srila Gurudev as an extension of Sri Balaram. So that's Baladev. No, he's really strict, if you will. He's really surrender in a servant mode. In that sense, again, he's different than Krishna in emotional disposition. So we can say that's part of the emotional difference between Krishna and Baladev, Sevya and Sevaka Bhagavan. Balaram is very straight, very transparent, and Krishna is crooked. No. Everything he does is crooked. No. He stands in a crooked way, he speaks in a crooked way. It is said that he even runs in a crooked way. No. When it was the Damodar Lila and Yashoda was running after Krishna, and Krishna started to run in a crooked way. No. He knew Yashoda doesn't know how to do that. And that's why Yashoda was not able to catch him. No. So he was running, everything is crooked about him. No. Sometimes the sadhu will play that like, okay, but that's a blessing at the end of the day. Because if you have like a straight object, like a bottle, and you may put something crooked inside, probably you are able to put that, but you cannot take out from there then. It becomes like trapped there, crooked. So if we want to be straight practitioners, and Krishna somehow enters there, in his crooked like way, Ahiri Bhagavati Premnasra Bhavakuti Lava Vetlab moves and crook. Once he's there, he cannot leave. So that's our hope, no? That Krishna, as we say sometimes, is a thief, and our hope is that Krishna is a crooked guy. So all about him is crooked. But about Balaram, straight. Guru Tattva. Krishna's lying, and Balaram is reporting. No. Like when Krishna ate dirt and Balaram reported that, and Krishna said, how could you say that? How could you betray? What's the prayer?
Betrayed
me in that in such a way. And he starts to lie. Krishna immediately, lie in one sense. He tells you so that, Balaram is reporting me because he's envious, because I always defeat him in battle, which is not true, generally. But at the end of the day, we see, even if Krishna is lying, at the end he shows that, okay, there's no earth in my mouth, and there was no earth because everything was inside. So if he didn't eat dirt, because for eating there you have to take something and put that in your mouth. But if everything is already there, you cannot say that you ate that. So technically speaking, Krishna was not lying. So at the end he remains somehow strict all this long. And again, Balaram's transparency, or for that matter, by extension, the Guru's transparency also, that's what gives them the capacity to represent Krishna. So these two points are connected: transparency and representation. Transparency and representation. So Guru is representing Krishna because of his or her transparency. The more transparent you are, the more you can reflect that divine light. And we, as students, we need also our dose of transparency, because to catch a glimpse of what's being represented, Guru is transparently representing Krishna, but unless we are transparent as students, we cannot catch a glimpse of that transparent representation, if you will. You follow my point? So it's not just, oh, he's so transparent, so representative, but we have to invest our 50% in the equation, as we say always. Vibhatansi vitatvam sumyatat sarvam tattvatastad anugrahat briyusnik dasya sisyasya guravukunyam apiyuta. It says that if one as a disciple is humble and affectionate, Guru will become inclined to reveal all the secrets that are in his or her heart to that type of disciple. So it's a nice verse which shows how we as students should approach the principle of revelation, how the secrets will stop being secrets and become revealed by humble, affectionate, transparent approach. So anyhow, enough with the crystal clear whitish. Never enough, but let's go to the next section. Then Raghunath Das Goswami says, more we could say in connection to the guru function in Balaram, that Baladev can easily destroy even a whiff of pride of all his powerful and turbulent enemies. So this speaks a little bit of his side as Bala, as my Guru spoke today about these three names of him, Bala, Ram, and Sankarshan. So Bala refers to strength, or as Srila Prabhupada will nicely put, and Guru Maharaj mentioned that today, Balaram, he who delights in showing the strength of doing what's correct. Which is another way of tying him with Guru. Balaram, Ram means to delight in, and Bala means showing strength. But which is the strength, ultimately the strength of truth, transparency, and of course ultimately the strength of divine love. Depending on which perspective you want to approach this. So here Balaram is defined as someone very strong and very easily can destroy enemies. So as we know that Krishna, when he kills some asuras, it's not actually Krishna doing that, but the Vishnu portioning him, dealing with that, those issues, those affairs. Because Krishna's, his only affair is lovingly interacting with his associates, basically. So similarly, as Krishna makes that arrangement and Vishnu is dealing, the Vishnu in him is dealing with that, because with Krishna's coming, all the forms of the Absolute are inside of him. Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Vishnu, everything. So whenever that's necessary, all these functions come, but Krishna remains absorbing his main duty as relishing rasa. So similarly, he makes this arrangement for Balaram to sometimes kill some turbulent demons from the Guru Tattva side of Balaram, if you want to put it like that. No, Balaram relatively easily killed demons like one of the most famous are Denukasur, Pralambasur, through his Aishwarya side, if you will remember. No? As Krishna killed them through his Vishnu side, Baladev killed those demons through his Guru Tattva side, if you will. Because interestingly, these demons that Baladev killed are quite connected with anartas, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes, which are quite connected to the work that the guru has to perform on the disciple. No? Like for example, Denukasur, who is the ass demon. So he, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, represents gross materialistic intelligence and ignorance of spiritual knowledge. So, as we spoke yesterday, Guru has to patiently and lovingly not only impart knowledge, but engage in deprogramming, if you want to put it like that. Maybe the term is not that accurate. Sometimes people say, oh, you went to the Gaudiya Vaishnava, you need a deprogrammer. No? But we are in deep program already. Sometimes we may need a further deprogramming, but but the point is, that's a whole work of the guru. Right? So we have to also get to these interpreted meanings of these sections. It's not just Balaram or Krishna killing people, and we get like, oh, let's kill the demons and let's invoke another Sudarshan, one more head. The very idea of Sudarshan is not just about cutting heads, but Sudarshan. Darshan means vision, and Su means correct or nice. So proper vision. So Sudarshan means you have a wrong vision of something, and the vision is here, so we need to replace that vision with your permission. No? That's the idea. No? That, you have to go to that level also, know what's taking place. That and these asuras sometimes represent these principles, like Denugasura, ignorance of spiritual knowledge. Guru won't take a Sudarshan maybe, but it will resort to Shastra. No? The very word Shastra means, can mean weapon. Also, astra, sha astra, with weapon, and so on. So, again, in this sense, we can see the guru tattva side of Balaram dealing with these demons. Pralambasura refers to desire for lava, puja, pratishta. Again, guru has to deal with those things, of course, in himself, but as well in his students, no? Selfish inclinations. So, Balaram is killing those, if you want to put it like that. Or even you can extend that to someone who maybe technically was not an asura, but when Balaram killed Romar Hasana Sutta, father of Sutta Goswami, who was on the Vyasa Sangha and was speaking Bhagavatam, and Baladev entered into the audience, and the one on the Vyasa Sangha did not acknowledge Baladev's presence, Balaram basically took a it was a very interesting way of dealing with the case. He took one kusa grass, like one, only one. Just a little bit, how do you say, like, sharp. So he didn't even like trespass the person. He just like touched him. And end of the Bhagavatam class. No? But the point of Baladev there, again, his guru tattva side is, you are in the Vyasasan, but you are somehow misusing the Vyasasan because, I mean, you are sitting on the seat of the speaker, but you are failing to represent Balaram, who is the principle of guru personified. So if you are sitting, acting as a guru, but you are not respecting the guru principle, what you are doing there? Basically, that's the idea. No? The only way you can offer is be a guru is offering respect to every guru and not considering yourself a guru at all, student forever. So Balaram's guru tattva side said, this is not correct. You shouldn't be on the Vyasas at some point in time. And of course, it is said that here, Balaram's power to kill enemies is described in terms of being very, very miraculous, but that has more something to do with the Nara Lila, no? Like Balaram in the Nara Lila, in the sweet, intimate, human-like pastimes, everyone will think in Braj, like, wow, no, how Balaram did that. From the Lila point of view, it seems like this is incredible, miraculous, but from a more, if you will, not so in Lila point of view, you see Balaram is the source of this, of this, of this, of this, of this. I mean, for him to kill a few demons, it's like, it's a joke, no? So in that sense, from the tattva perspective, more impartial perspective, I mean, that's nothing for him. But from the lila perspective, it's like, wow, how did he do it? No? It shows a very an apparent form of ignorance, interestingly. Mm-hmm. Sweet ignorance. And finally, let's go to the last section of the verse. Raghunath Das Goswami refers to Baladeva as, he who out of great affection does not leave his naughty little brother out of his sight, even for a moment when they go out in the woods, and who treats Krishna with affection despite knowing about his divine prowess. So who treats Krishna intimately, although knowing about having an Aishwarya, knowing who Krishna is from the Aishwarya perspective. So some few words about this before concluding. So as we mentioned in the beginning, Balaram is called as Dauji, as it says here. Out of great affection, he's not losing sight of his naughty younger brother, even for a moment, only for 8 days, Dauji, but Dauji nonetheless. And he's fully identified with that like projection that Yashoda put on him. And therefore he's always watching out of Krishna as an elder, in a sense, protection, Rakshabandhan. And Maharaj Purusha watching out that he's behaving properly. We don't want to spoil. He's already quite spoiled, this Ramanuja. So Balaram is like, we have to straighten him a little bit more. Let's see. So it's interesting because regarding Baladev being an elder brother only 8 days old, not every Vaishnav lineage think in these terms. For example, Balab Sampradaya and other lineages which hold one book called Garga Samhita in great esteem. And somehow in Garga Samhita it is said that Balaram was born 6 days after Krishna, but 1 year before. So he was born 359 days before Krishna. So he's, the gap is bigger, no? He's much elder, I mean, in one sense. And they celebrate that on that day, actually. So their Balaram Jayanti will be in a few weeks, if you will. But the point is that if that will be the case, if Balaram will have been born almost like 1 year difference with Krishna, they say that they will not be able to play together or to really share as equals as they did in every single wrestle on equal terms or share on equal terms. And especially, as my Guru Maharaj said today, the name-giving ceremony of Gargacharya was performed with the two of them in the ceremony. And generally, you do that not after a year. No? So the fact that the two of them were there indicates that they were born very close to each other. And so that's our argument, if you will, to this idea of why not to cancel today's celebration and meet again in a few weeks. And since we invoked the birth of Balaram a few days before Krishna, let's share some brief words in that connection, because of course we won't narrate the whole thing, but as you know, it is known that to begin with, Krishna on certain level he's known as the son of Devaki, as our Guru Maharaj said today. Most popularly he will be known as the son of Devaki. He appeared, but in the Bhagavatam it's mentioned Krishna appears in the womb of Devaki, from the womb of Devaki, and he appears in a four-armed form, which we call Vasudev Krishna. And then Vasudev brings Vasudev Krishna to Gokul from the prison house. We know the story. But from the Goswamis, what we know is that actually Krishna was born, the original Krishna, Swayam Rup, according to the definition we mentioned before, Swayam Rup, the original, he was born from Yashoda, in the womb of Yashoda, in Vrindavan. And the Krishna born from the womb of the Bhakti in Mathura is by Bhav Prakash, going back to our turn. Balaram is born by Bhav Prakash in Braj, but Krishna outside of Braj in Mathura is Vaibha Prakash of the Swayam Rupa of the original Krishna. So Vasudev took this Vaibha Prakash Krishna to Vrindavan, and it is said that that expansion merged into the original Krishna, which was born from the womb of Yashoda. Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. That's the Krishna that was born in Vrindavan. So similar way, it is said by different acharyas, that the partial expansion of Balaram appeared in the womb of Devaki. And then, following Krishna's order, Yogamaya transferred that expansion to the womb of Rohini. But it is said that in the womb of Rohini, the original Balaram was there already. So similarly to this idea of Krishna's expansion, an original one and one merging into the other, it is said that first, the expansion of Baladev appeared in Devaki's, simultaneously in Devaki's womb, but in Rohini's womb as well. So eventually, when it seemed that it was a miscarriage, as we know, actually it was a transferring and expansion merged into the original Brajavasi Balaram, which is the original one. For us, Balaram is a Brajavasi. He's eternally Rohini's son, Rohiniputra, as Guru Maharaj was mentioning today, as the Bhagavatam describes him. So, as Guru Maharaj explained today, in Vrindavan, Krishna is the son of Yashoda, and Balaram is the son of Rohini. That's like the appreciation of both of them. And they are the source of all the other expansions of themselves which appear outside of Raj. You follow my point? Sure. So Krishna and Balaram in Braj are the original Krishna and Balaram. So whoever, if they appear in the womb of Devaki in Mathura, that has to be an expansion of the original ones, and so on. So we could say in Vrindavan, Balaram is the son of Rohini. But when we are in Mathura or Dwarka, as Krishna in Vrindavan is the son of Yashoda, but in Mathura and Dwarka, everyone will think of him about mostly he's the son of Devaki. That will be more the psychology corresponding to the place. Similarly, Balaram will be seen outside of Braj, in Dwarka, in Mathura, as the son of Devaki as well, like Krishna. No? Mm-hmm. And of course, we know outside of Mathura and Dwarka, Balaram will manifest in corresponding forms to serve Krishna as Lakshman, Nikai, and so on. So, returning for a moment before finishing to Balaram's taking care, watching out for Krishna, as we know, as my Guru Maharaj established today, the main emotional disposition of Balaram is Sakyaras, that's clear. But in connection to watching out for Krishna, the Vatsalya side of the equation comes to the fore, we could say. Chaitanya Charitamrita mentions that, no? After Sakya, the next mixing, if you will be Vatsalya in Balaram's system. And then Dasya. And then in the other departments, he will also rendering some service. But mostly Sakya, of course. And then Vatsalya as the elder brother of Krishna. Jara Bhava Sudha Sakya Vatsalya Dimai, says Chaitanya Charitamrita. Balaram's disposition is purely Sakya, mainly Sakya, but then Vatsalya and others are also part of his makeup. So we could say first Sakya, then Vatsalya, then Dasya, in Braj. No? Outside of Braj, as Guru Maharaj mentioned today, some other sides will become more prominent, the Dasya side, and so on. But these are the three main emotional dispositions of Balaram. No? Sakya, Vatsalya, and Dasya, that doesn't mean Rasa Abhas, no? Which means a proper mixture of Rasa. So he has all these things together, which sometimes Rupa Goswami describes one as being enemy of the other, no? Like Sakya with Dasya. But in Balaram, this is not called Rasabhas, it's called Sankul Bhav, or mixed emotional disposition, and which again speaks about Baladev's eagerness to serve Krishna in soul as many possible ways as possible, including even Santa Rasa and Madhura Rasa in one way or another. In Santa Rasa, for example, he will expand, as we know, as Krishna's asana, upavita, paduka, basana, cloth, bhushana, ornaments, and even especially the dham. The whole Vrindavan dham is considered as an expression of Balaram in the context of Santa. Balaram is also the deity of Sandini Shakti. Krishna is said to be the deity of Sambit Shakti. Shirad is the deity of Ladini Shakti, these three divisions of Swarup Shakti. And Balaram is Sandini Shakti, which is like the Sat aspect, the existence aspect of the equation. No? So it's like he's expanding into the dham, into the right stage for the performance of the drama, of the Leela. No? The interaction between Radha and Krishna, Ladini and Sambit, needs Sandini as its foundation. So Balaram is expanding like the playground. So Ladini and Sambit, Radha and Krishna can perform their Leela basically. So that for us, the dham. The dham is not a geographical place, but it's more like Tadrupa Vaibhav, like an expansion, the extended splendor of the Absolute. So Vrindavan for us is literally an emotional landscape. It's not a geographical place. It's an emotional landscape, literally, not symbolically. So it's an extension, a passive one in the form of Santa, of Baladev to facilitate proper playground, the proper stage, scenario for Radha and Krishna to meet and have Leela. Sometimes they say, interestingly, this Santa, because we say this Santa can expand as the dam to facilitate the Madhurya of Radha and Krishna. So Santa and Madhurya are sometimes combined, interestingly. For example, Baladeva expands at the dam in Santa, and I don't know, at a night Radha and Krishna has to meet, but they are too far from one another, and they are dining separation from one another. So Baladeva, who is in Santa as the dam, and the dam is described as a lotus, as Prabhupada will say, with different petals, and Radha may be in one petal and Krishna in another, in one lila stali and another, and they are dying in separation, and it's too far from them to meet in time before dying. So Baladeva, in the form of the dam, will make, and it's night, so at night the lotus closes. So Baladeva will make the lotus close, and then Radha and Krishna will be next to each other. No? And then in the morning, the lotus starts to open, and in the morning sometimes Radha and Krishna will be together, and probably Jatila, Kutila will start to suspect what's going on. Sri Radha is not coming out of her. So Baladeva Sandini Shakti will expand the lotus, and they are not yet close to one another, but everyone is in their place, if you. So in that way, no, in his Santa Rasa form, he's even facilitating the Madhurya. No? So that's how, in so many ways, Balaram is serving. Of course, apart from his dasya disposition, like a servant of Hari. If you say that, for example, a servant, a few words on dasya. We have 10 minutes? We have eternity? Okay. So, if you say that in dasya, if you are a servant, you won't know something unless the master reveals that to you. So in Brahma Vimohan Lila, that's, for example, the case. No? When Krishna expands for a year as the cubs, as the friends, and Balaram is 1 year in Braj without realizing all these cubs and boys are expansions of Krishna. He's in his own Vimohan, not only Brahma. And at one point, Balaram starts to look something very strange, because the cubs have just newborn cubs. But the cows are running to their elder calves and licking them with affection and giving milk and neglecting the newborn calves. So Balaram said, what's going on? That's strange. That doesn't compute. Doesn't happen. The cow will remain with the newborn calf. But they are running to these other calves, which were the expansions of Krishna. That's why the cows were running after those calves. And then he's seeing the fathers and mothers in Vrindavan and saying, oh, they are loving their kids as they love Krishna, which is strange. For us, maybe it's not weird that we love our children more than Krishna. But in Vrindavan, it's weird. You are loving someone as you love Krishna, even not even more. As Krishna, that's like, there's something strange here. So Balaram is like going to Krishna and like looking at Krishna like, and Krishna like, what's going on? Tell me. I don't know what you mean. What do you mean? Calf. Tell me, please. And eventually Krishna, the master, reveals that, no? And Balaram, in the Bhagavatam it says Balaram realized, oh, this is the Maya of my master. And Balaram expressed himself in those terms, were realizing how these calves and boys were Krishna themselves. No? And of course, seeing Balaram's dasya, of course, Krishna sometimes will reciprocate accordingly, as we must mention today. He will glorify Balaram when they are in the forest in front of all the friends and so on. So that's something about the dasya disposition. The sakya disposition, well, no need to enter into the details of that. That's his main disposition. He mostly identifies himself as a friend of Krishna and deals with him mostly in that term, those terms, like in equal levels, and playing and joking and sharing so much. In the context of Sakya. And then Vatsalya, already we mentioned something, but a little bit more, just finishing. Elder brother means Vatsalya. Vatsalya doesn't mean only mother and father, but you can be an elder brother of only 8 days elder, and you already have the Vatsalya label there, at least from Yashoda. Vatsalya, protect him. So to say that Balaram protects Krishna like the eyelids protect the eyeballs. Yeah. Oh, that's his, like, his level of absorption in that direction. Mm-hmm. And whenever, for some reason, Balaram is not there, and something seems to get out of place, generally everyone, like the Shod especially, will like, oh, this only happened because Balaram was not there. No? And one of the famous cases like this is when the famous Kaliya Lila. No? But as you know, Krishna is eventually jumping into the river, Jamuna is starting to dance. Before dancing, he's trapped by Kaliya. And all the Brajavasis are like hearing the news. And Balaram that day was not with Krishna, because that day was his nakshatra, or the monthly birthday that he has, when the constellation in which he was born comes into place that day of the month. And everyone in the house retained Balaram and started like to celebrate, you know, his monthly birthday. He was not there. No, Brahma Mohan Lila was similar that day. He was trapped into the shackles of Vatsalya Bhava. But that allows some other dynamics to happen. So when Yashoda heard about all that was happening with Krishna trapped by Kaliya, her only conclusion is this could only have happened because Balaram was not there. That speaks how much Balaram's Vatsalyam protection is preventing certain things to happen, and when that's not happening, And that's how Yashoda asks Balaram every single day when they go with Krishna to the woods. Like, he calls him, please protect him, he's my Gopal, take care that he's not walking in this particular side of the road, look after him. And he calls other boys, protect north, south, east, west, start to invoke different mantras and kavaches and amulets, and like for minutes and minutes, and the boys are like, yes, 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 can we go now? No, please protect him. Yes, I will. Mm-hmm. We promise. Okay, and Yashoda makes them take an oath, you know, like you will protect, and all these type of things. So Balaram is the main one in charge of the whole thing. So he was also Krishna. And regarding his Madhurya side, of course, as we know, he's not directly participating in this situation, because that will spoil the whole mood of, you know, elder brother appearing when the younger brother's meeting with his clandestine lovers or something. But he's facilitating that, as we say, but not watching, but not looking, but looking in another direction. With Krishna is going to meet Radha every midday, Balaram remains with all the friends, knowing what's going on. It's not that he doesn't know. As our Gumara said today, when Balaram goes to Vrindavan from Dwarka, he consoles the gopis, and the gopis realize, oh, he knew about this. And he's approving that, actually. And he's supporting us, and he's consoling us so expertly, to the point that the gopis feel Krishna is manifesting him, and we feel fully satisfied with this confirmation that Krishna loves us. So he's very expert in serving the Madhurya department, if you will, as much as he can from his particular emotional disposition. Mm-hmm. And Das Goswami concluded the prayer, as I mentioned before, that all the Baladevis were of all of Sri Krishna's prowess, of all of Krishna's Aishwarya, from his Dasa side, as we say in the Brahma Vimohan Lila, out of great affection, Balaram is always worried about Krishna in a sweet human-like psychology. No? Although he knows all that Krishna is in terms of Aishwarya, his main preoccupation, again, it's not the Dasya, no? It's not even the Vatsalya, but it's the Sakya side. But at the same time, again, Balaram, with this teaching, he has full knowledge of Krishna's Aishwarya side, and that will be the foundation that will allow him to be mainly preoccupied with Krishna's intimate side, in Vrindavan, Madhurya side, if you will. So similarly, that's a lesson for us as sadhakas. No? If we want to be exclusively concerned with Krishna in Lila, first we have to be properly aware of his Aishwarya and how he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and so on. And gradually, that will take us in the other direction. So Balaram is giving that to us as Gurudev. Srila Gurudev is giving us Siddhanta, Tattva, Shastric foundation, so we can gradually build the temple of Bhava in our heart, and first be properly aware of who Krishna is in terms of Aishwarya, so someday we can forget that, if you will, and that can be pushed to the background by the strength of intimacy. So today we are celebrating this and many other things on Sri Baladev Purnim. So some words we want to share as a not so brief maybe explanation of this person, Raghunandas Goswami. And And somehow we will start tomorrow more officially with our japa retreats. It was planned to start yesterday, but there was some divine providence with some other plans, so we'll begin tomorrow. But somehow today is part of it, with the blessings of Sri Baladev Prabhu, with the blessings of the main representative of Guru Tattva. It's a very auspicious way also of having this kickstart, if you will, in the retreat, and praying for the mercy of the whole Guru Parampara, Guru Bhargava, trying to approach Srinam, who is no different from Krishna. So before going to Krishna, we'll go into Sri Baladev, to Sri Gurudev, and from there trying to do something with our lives in the service of Srinam Prabhu. So we will continue in that way tomorrow. And today we will put our discussion to rest here. This is already a little bit late here, so if there are any questions or commentaries, I think we can continue these days.
I just wanted to say that the story of Rakshabandhana, they say that when the Pandavas and Draupadi were in exile, Krishna appeared, and I don't know if there was a fire or something, but he used the Sudarshan Chakra to protect him from something, and he cut his finger. So Draupadi took a little piece, she ripped a little piece of her sari and tied it around his finger.
That's connected also with Rakshabandhana.
The origin of Rakshabandhana.
Interesting. I heard the other version of the Bamandev Bali Maharaj, and probably there are 108 more versions, but all of them are always charming equally, so thanks for sharing that one. Sri Rakshabandhan ki jai, Sri Baladev Purim ki jai, Sri Lagurudev ki jai, Sri Mahaprabhu ki jai, Sri Nam Sankirtan ki jai, Sri Sri Dauji Gopal ki jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Priman.